Welcome to the podcast, Claim Your Excellent Life, with your host, Suzanne Kellner-Zink, where she helps professional women learn how to be happy. Suzanne will teach you how to do this through building high self-esteem, relaxation and calm, and good, healthy relationships. Tune in every week as Suzanne shares effective strategies to help you claim your excellent life with happiness techniques, self-esteem building exercises, relationship tips, and relaxation information. Make sure to head over to dawningvisions.com to subscribe to the newsletter to receive your keys to happiness, as well as other useful free gifts for you.
In today's episode of Claim Your Excellent Life, we are speaking about Marianne Williamson's Tears to Triumphs, The Metaphysics of Jesus. This is the last in our series, and it's full of some really great teachings. Marianne explains, Buddha's observation of suffering led to his search for enlightenment. Moses' compassion for the suffering of his people enabled him to hear the voice of God directing him to lead them out of slavery. Jesus' suffering on the cross condenses the sorrows and tears and pain of humanity into a single incident. The resurrection reflects God's response to our suffering, that in him all suffering ends. The suffering of Jesus on the cross is the embodiment of the full viciousness of the ego. The crucifixion is the ultimate symbol of the ego having gotten its wish, causing us to suffer, and ultimately to die. The ego is the belief that we are our bodies, and thus the death of the body seems to be the ego's ultimate triumph. The resurrection of God's response to the crucifixion, the very emergence of truth after illusion, has had its way with us. It's the ultimate reemergence of light after darkness. It is the fact that death does not exist, for what God created cannot die. It is the expression of God's will, which has never not been done, not only in Jesus' life, but also in ours. No matter what happens, no matter what evil might occur, God always has and always will get the ultimate final word. In time, all will be well. In fact, it will be glorious. These words are so important because what they are telling us is that spirituality is really beyond what we know in our, as a Kabbalist would say, 1% world, the world of our senses. And as I spoke in one of our previous recordings, our physical senses don't always tell us the truth. I mean, when you look at the railroad tracks, in the distance, they look like they're going closer together, but in fact, they're still parallel. You look at airplanes going far away or boats sailing away, and they look so much smaller in the distance. You hear things that aren't. In so many ways, our senses play tricks on us. And it's in the 99% world that all the energy and all these things that we don't really understand come to pass. It's really how we have instantaneous healings. It's how we're able to get in touch with our intuition, our higher selves. This is what it's all about. Because the mind of God, as we already said, is in ourselves. The Buddha is in you. The Christ is in you. God is in you. Because you are of God, as above, as below. It all means the same thing. That we need to get really real with what we are doing here on this planet Earth and to realize that we make our own lives for better or worse based on allowing ourselves self-forgiveness, allowing ourselves to forgive others, recognizing that people are not their behavior, recognizing that everyone has magnificence in them, and also recognizing that the most important thing that we can do on this planet Earth is to realize that we can't and don't wait for circumstances to change to know that things are perfect. We accept things are perfect. And that if we are committed to changing ourselves and the world around us, the power is always there in the way that we think, because our thoughts create our reality. Affirm the fact that God or your creator or whatever you call the divine is. Make it so, because As Marion goes on to explain, these are very important ideas for us to understand. We create our own world. The world that we want to live in is a world we can create for ourselves. If only we would use our thoughts to create it the way we want it. So, what is the metaphysical concept behind Christmas? The story of Jesus began with the story of his mother. She was aroused from the ego mind, as all of us are, that we can be more than we think we are. And I'm talking in these terms in terms of our limiting beliefs and our negative thoughts about ourselves and people around us. His spirit permeates our consciousness, and as we hold it within us and allow
Christ to grow,
it will then produce life within us. Mothered by our humanness and fathered by the Spirit of God, the Christ is then born unto the earth, says Marianne. Free will is something we all have. And if we say yes to our mission, our cause, our purpose that God put us here on the planet to do, allow our minds and our bodies, I would say in Kabbalistic terms, the channel for the Creator's work, we will be able then to do God's work. Christ is the name for being who then emerges when we do. That's all Christ is. The name for being who then emerges when we do. That's what Marianne says. So beyond the body, beyond the material plane, on the level of the spirit, we are cleaved to God. If you study Kabbalah at all, you understand that we all come from one being.
Abraham.
When we're talking of Christ, there is only one begotten Son. Jesus is a name for the oneness we all share. To join on the level of Christ is to simply realize that we are already one. So it's a new narration of we are one based on, well, Abraham. Abraham was the first one in Judaism. We are all a part of Abraham. How cool is that? And now Christ is repeating that same story. The Christ mind is the mind we all share. We all come from the same place. It is the place of source, called by many names, one of which is the Christ. One name for the shared self is Jesus. He was one in whom all fear-based thought was dissolved. Thus we became one with the Christ. By remembering him, we remember who we really are. That according to Miriam. Now, crucifixion. What does this truly mean? Well, we come into this world as innocent beings. We need love in order to survive. The monkey experiments prove that to be true. Because when they didn't have love and they were given just a stuffed mother, they died. And unfortunately, we have this thing called ego. Its job is to crucify our innocence, invalidate our love, and to make us suffer, and to kill us if it can. It is the aspect of the mind that repudiates God, says Miriam. So what is the suffering of Jesus on the cross symbolize? It represents the suffering the ego has caused forever. One human being dealing with the worst torture while completely loving those who tortured him. It broke the ego's sword in half. Because all minds are joined. When anyone achieves anything, their achievement becomes available for everyone. Jesus broke the ego spell by surrendering his mind so completely to God, and the spell is now broken for everyone. That's Marian's interpretation. So the truth of Jesus' crucifixion is there to teach the power of love, to overcome our own crucifixions. It really has nothing to do with what's been done to us, but how we interpret that which we feel was done to us. And it really depends on how we choose to identify ourselves in the world in which we live. If you identify with only the physical 1% world, as the Kabbalists call it, the ego will have its way with you. But if you decide to identify with the 99% world, the world of the spirit, the ego is powerless. In fact, the Kabbalists talk about the fact that we can live among chaos. It's very easy to live among the chaos if you don't partake in it.
Leave those distractions for other people who don't understand the spiritual world and how it operates. Stay away from the news of the day. It's just about sensationalized garbage that overblows everything a million times over again. And concentrate on loving, positive things that people are doing in this world everywhere you look to help others less fortunate than them in every way conceivable. Think of Richard Branson and his 300-plus foundations, or Bill Gates and all he's doing with the money that he has all over the world. Think about the sports players who actually donate their time back to the cities they grew up in abject poverty. Think about all the people everywhere who do amazing things. Why? Because they can, and we can too. Each of us is responsible for what we choose to center our thoughts around, and therefore it's up to us to decide how we create and use each day that we are blessed to have. The crucifixion takes many different forms, but the resurrection is formless. There's only one real problem and one real answer. God's the answer, no matter what the problem may be. Removing your barriers to love, bringing in the miracles of God's love and care, transform it. Crucifixion is the energy pattern by which ego ruins our lives. Resurrection is the return to love and thus the overriding of the ego. Another beautiful statement from Marianne. So now the next question is about forgiveness. Ask yourself who you need to forgive. Because seriously, when you do the forgiveness, it allows you to move on in life, no longer chained to those negative thoughts and feelings that you have to that person who you felt harmed you in some fashion or form. That person has most likely forgotten whatever happened, and you're carrying this with you to your own detriment. So much anger, resentment builds up in people that they end up killing themselves with heart attacks or cancer or something else. You need to forgive anything and anybody, including God, if you feel you've had a really bad hand in the game of cards you were dealt. The resurrection is a description of how the universe operates. When death and darkness temporarily prevail, such as when there are big fires in the forest, what happens right after? New life comes up. New seedlings grow into great plants and trees. And thus the cycle begins again. Time and time again, love reappears even after the most crushing of events occur. And though in time our bodies do finally die, there is no time. And there is no death. Jesus said, "Take heart, for I have overcome the world." He did not say, "Don't worry, I fixed everything." To fix and to overcome are two distinctly different things, Marianne explains. To fix is to change things on the worldly plane. To overcome is to evolve beyond the consciousness of this world entirely. So, Jesus is a teacher to some people. To some, he's a transformative power. It depends on what we choose. We need to move beyond intellectual understanding and feel viscerally inside ourselves the change that happens when we believe and live within the genuine spiritual experience. The resurrection is a psychic reality, whether it occurred or didn't. It is a symbol, it is an idea, allowing us to understand the infinite possibility accomplished by one and now available to all. It's a recognition of how the universe operates. For miracles, beings of God are natural. Objective, as they are with the laws of the internal universe. There's laws of the external universe. We have this thing called gravity, and we have this thing called love, which is a spiritual anti-gravitational force, ensuring that whatever goes down will ultimately rise back up. Ego will pull things down. But wherever love is present, guess what? One can be lifted again. However, we have to align our minds with love in order for the principle to appear operative in our lives. Miracles are always available. But we have to open our eyes to be able to understand them when we see them. Opportunities appear. Man, I've had so many opportunities to do some really cool things in life. I know I take advantage of every single one I can. My two trips to Africa were ideas of my client's father in one case and the idea of a mentee of mine in another. It took me 2 seconds to say yes to each of these opportunities to do some amazing things in Africa. It was a dream of mine to come to bring my work to the third world. How ultimately wonderful is that? Or how about meeting John Gray, one of the people who I totally look up to? He's so beyond his peers in so many levels in terms of his visionary thinking. And here I was at Harvard University in a small gathering for the Health and Wellness Club. And they talked to a lot of millionaires and billionaires to teach the Harvardians how to create wealth in their lives. But wellness mattered too. And John Gray came on with his wonderful energy right after we were spoken to by an ashram leader from India. So calm, cool, and collected. John Gray comes on and he does his teaching and he's chalking up that board all over the place. He's teaching us the principles of the hormones and how relationships really work and what oxytocin, the bonding hormone, is all about. And testosterone needs to be refilled by the men and how it is that men and women need to respect each other's biology, because men and women are different. We are so biologically, so get over it, people. We're supposed to be, and deal with it. Respect your gender for what it is. They're each beautiful in their own ways, and when they come together, they're even more beautiful. Because it takes a man and a woman to create a wife. Except for through Jesus, of course. Now, Jesus' complete surrender to God acted as a perceptual change. It made him one with the atonement. Remembering Jesus, remember God. And remembering his power, remember our own. His mind, when joined with our mind, shines away the ego. Any condition of crucifixion in our lives is then miraculously transformed. But it takes 3 days, of course. Huh, what does that mean? It means that during our time of deepest darkness, it takes the time within the linear plane for the worldly conditions to catch up with our change in consciousness. Spirit really works on the level of cause. When you're working on the level of cause, the effects are going to change by themselves. While living in the world, we think thoughts that are not of this world, which gives us mastery within it. So this is the deal. The crucifixion and resurrection are extraordinary powers of work in our lives, just as they were in the life of Jesus. They're psychic realities, the understanding of which adds depth to understanding of our own lives. With this understanding, we have the ability to more wisely navigate our experience of the world. To not feel our suffering is to deny the crucifixion, but to not let go of it is to deny the resurrection. Though we might have fallen, we will yet rise. Easter. Wow. What is Easter all about? Easter is the symbol of the resurrection. The important accomplishment of doing the forgiveness. It is the triumph of love and the healing potential within every moment. It is the hope when we seem to have lost all hope. It is the light that exists even in our deepest darkness. It is the possibility for new beginnings that seem impossible when all has gone wrong. As a practical reality, it only requires our willingness to manifest. Our openness to the infinite possibility. In fact, the Kabbalists talk about thinking in impossibilities, meaning to think beyond the boxes that most people force themselves into to live this life that our society puts out there. How about being illogical and doing amazing things instead? Well, Easter is the invitation to do the impossible. It makes us available to the miracles. It allows possibilities to come into our minds because the thought of the impossible, as the Kabbalists put it, or the thought of infinite possibilities, Marianne puts it, is able to penetrate our consciousness. Now, this is important. God restores our crucified selves to a new life. Even in the most horrifying chaos, human suffering is going to happen when the world is full of illusion and fear. That stuff that you watch on the news, stop watching it. It's through the power of forgiveness that we transform it. And we also know studies have shown that if you pray for people who are ill, they get better. So pray. Every effort at forgiveness, every time we take responsibility for our ill behavior, in time, we do get beyond the suffering. We die to who we used to be and are reborn as we are meant to be, lifted above the darkness and ignorance of death. I had my own resurrection, actually, when I realized, as I was sitting in my psychiatrist's office many moons ago, she asked me this really weird question. She wanted to know that if I had my own way, would I work on healing my manic depression using her way or my way? And I told her I didn't have a my way, so I had to do it her way. But interestingly enough, thinking of impossibility, you realize that there are ways for people to heal beyond the conventional means that don't heal anybody. They just manage illness. I was sick of having my illness managed but knew nothing better. I got in hypnosis. I went to my first advanced personal evolution program with Tad and Adriana James, and it was there inside of 5 minutes clearing the things I needed to clear, my negative emotions, my limiting beliefs, that freed me of this illness that was controlling my life for 14 years. The medication was doing horrible things to my body. I went off when I went back home, starting my release from the psychiatrist's care with her okay and with her following me for 10 months. And it was in those 5 minutes that were found of the true healing, because my psychiatrist asked that crazy question as to whether or not I had my own way, that I had to seek out my own way, and I found my own healing, and I never looked back since. So yes, the world of impossibility is totally there. And even the most important of things, which is our health, our thinking, our thoughts, our emotions, it's so important. I'd never be able to do the stuff that I do now if I was still in that sick state of up and down every 6 months. 6 months of depression and doing nothing. 6 months of being totally euphoric and crazy. No. It's through health and healing and knowing that there are ways that things can be handled that go outside of what we might think is possible when we allow ourselves to investigate what else is out there. And by the way, I didn't go to the APEP program for me. I went there. Well, yeah, that's true. I did go to the APEP program for me, but I certainly didn't get into hypnosis for me. I went into hypnosis because my clients were treated like crap by the people who run these programs I worked under, and I was sick of it. There had to be a better way. And so in finding a better way for them, I found my own freedom, thinking illogically, found a path to health and healing. And I'm not the only one. There's other people like Brene Brown and Byron Katie and so many others who have learned how to heal themselves and take their healing to other people. 3 days after Jesus was crucified, the woman who were closest to him went to the tomb to claim his body. And guess what? He wasn't there. 2 angels appeared and told them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He isn't here, but he's been raised." What does this mean metaphysically? It means that surviving personal crisis allows us to move to a higher level of understanding. The part of our personality that was crucified by that negative event no longer is. God nullifies the effects of that which made us cry. We don't just work through our issues, we are saved from them. The angel's announcement that Christ's dead body does not exist, but the crucified Christ has risen, means that the aspect of yourself that self-sabotage or is victim of someone else's sabotage need no longer appear within your personality. Your neurotic patterns of bitterness and hopelessness, all these aspects of selves, can be healed by God, are transmuted to who you are now. No longer stuck in fear, no longer blinded by the ego, no longer nailed to the cross of your own crucifixion. Understanding, we become new. Not just improved, we are changed. We are changed because the process is both an awakening and a journey to emerge from the torment of our facing our own demons into the light of having faced them down. And understand that the benefits of this journey of overcoming all your negative events and emotions and limiting beliefs are cumulative. We become wiser because of being open to these miracles of life. We learn humility because we come to terms with the things that we've done wrong and make amends for them. We become more peaceful and more open to what we can create. Because the holiest work of all is to find your own wholeness within yourself when you bring forgiveness and love together. The miracle of redemption, transformation, and personal rebirth. So what about this thing as Jesus as our Savior? Jesus represents someone who rose above the illusions of his own mind, authorized by God to help anyone who calls to him to do the same. To really follow Jesus' teachings is to love and be loved. For unconditional love is the only salvation. To teach is to demonstrate. Jesus wants us to be teachers for him, to demonstrate healing that occurs in our own minds to make us whole in God. When he said to his disciples, "Go into the countryside and teach my gospel," he did not mean go out into the world and hit people over the head with our book, as Marian says. He meant go out into the world and be love. That's the same thing as telling us to go out into the world and do miracles. Think with love, and the miracles will happen all on their own. Anyone who loves the world is a savior of the world. And be mindful of the fact that all genuine spiritual paths are paths of spiritual salvation and that they're the healing of the mind. We have to learn to think as God thinks. To change our thoughts isn't always easy, and it certainly is not when we're in the grips of a very hard time in our own lives, or seeing the craziness that we see in the world around us where the kids are shooting other kids at high schools and, you know, Jim Jones goes and brings his people to their death drinking Kool-Aid. These are crazy things that people do. But we need to help in going from what we know abstractly to what we actually feel. Jesus is one of the powers of many that can deliver us from the grips of fear and into the arms of love. So to recap all of these learnings over these past few weeks. The mind of Buddha that awakened under the Bodhi tree. The mind of Moses that channeled God's power to part the Red Sea. And the mind of Jesus that channeled God's power is to teach us that when our mind is not aligned with God, that is the cause of all suffering. When we are aligned with God, our Creator, it is the cause of love, healing, and beauty, and peacefulness. Marian goes on to explain that two men were crucified with Jesus, one to his left and one to his right, but there's no tell of their resurrections. Why? Because their minds, theoretically, were not illumined. Jesus did not speak of hate for his accusers, or blame those around him. He loved even those who hated him. His mind was so purely aligned with the unconditional loving spirit of God that all the power of God was given unto him. He is the light of the world because he is the light inside our minds. Jesus is a portal, as are all great spiritual systems, doors to the field of love and power. But we need to walk through these portals. As spiritual seekers, we need to lift our consciousness close to God so that we become masters, not slaves, of the mortal world. Just like the Buddhist monk who calmly defied the warlord, like Moses parting the Red Sea and like Jesus rising from the dead. To the sufferer, this is not a matter of theology or metaphysics. It's a matter of surviving an experience. regardless of what name is on the door through which we pass our way to God. Opening the door makes all the difference. No words are more powerful than, "Dear God, I choose to come into you. Please come into me. Amen." The miracle that is God will come in, for he is already there. And when we see that, we are amazed by the light in him and in ourselves. Our amazement then turns into joy, our tears turn into triumph, and peace returns at last. And with that last statement, I could not agree more. You know, in my own world, though I was raised as a Reformed Jewish person, as I said earlier in these presentations, I really didn't believe in God for a lot of years because I was looking at nature and science. But then it dawned on me one day when I gained a little bit more wisdom. I don't know, I was probably into hypnosis and seeing a lot of really interesting changes, miraculous changes actually happening with my clients, that I realized that there was something greater than me. And I know in my biology class that I did for my pre-nursing studies, when I saw in the stem cells the same patterns of the leaves of those trees, there was some unifying energy operating inside this world of nature, that I realized that there had to be some creator, something more important. And it was in my Master Practitioner of Neuro-Linguistic Programming when we were talking about values and we were talking about spirituality, and I was on the highest level on one assessment and the lowest on the other. And my trainer, Matt James, looked at me and said, "I've never seen anyone be on both extremes of both of these scales." And I told him I knew I needed to find some spirituality that works, because although I really do love my Judaism, I'm not really a believer in the way that religious people are. I do take from the stories and the metaphors, the learnings and the teachings, and I bring them forth to my clients. And I do really love the culture, and I do love the songs, and I love the ancient Hebrew. I love seeing it, I like saying it, it's just beautiful to my ears. Brings me back to my past with my dad, who's been dead since 85. So it's a very wonderful place to be. But that being said, where was the spirituality? And then I studied Kabbalah, and I realized that, as I said earlier, spirituality is nothing more than living with a pure heart, pure mind, being ethical, acting with integrity, doing the best you can to not harm people. And that doesn't mean that I don't do things that harm people. Just last week, I was yelling at my... Well, I wasn't yelling at my web guy, but I was so angry. Well, I guess I was yelling at my web guy because he wasn't doing something I wanted him to do that was going to take him 10 minutes to do. And it only made sense for him to do it because he spent so many hours helping me to get this project together in the first place. I didn't understand his thinking. As I explained to him later, why would you want to aggravate somebody who's already pissed off with the world? I was dealing with a lot of technological problems. It was taking my income away from me because people couldn't find my information. They couldn't email me. And that all sucked. And so I wasn't in the best of moods. What I needed was someone to validate my feelings and to say, if that would make you happy, I'd be more than happy to do it. And that's what I told him. Never aggravate an angry redhead. It's not a good thing to do. So anyway, getting back to this channel of the creator stuff. We are here to be a channel of the creator, to fill the vessels of those people around us, to bring them to higher levels of beingness, so they too can live lives of illogicality, to create amazing new things that lighten and enliven our lives. That is what we are here to do, and that is my understanding of spirituality. So with this all said, once again, I'd like to speak to you about these new programs I'm putting together. They're actually trainings. The first one's going to be for type 2 diabetics, children. Children means anybody under the age of 16. And these children are going to be at this training to reverse their type 2 diabetes because it's absolutely doable. And the parents need to be on board with what needs to happen. They need to understand the new way that these kids of theirs need to eat, and they need to understand how to reset their bodies so that their insulin can be created again. It's totally doable. And we're going to do this in some neat areas in the Southwest. Taos, New Mexico, Sedona, Arizona, and one other place still to be figured out. And then I'm doing another program for adult diabetics. That's anyone 16 and older. And if you have a partner, I want your partner there because, again, the environment means everything. Bruce Lipton pointed this out in Biology of Belief, a great book that he wrote. If you haven't read it, read it. It takes it all the way from cellular biology to spirituality. And he talks about the environment of the cells needing to be absolutely correct for them to be able to grow. We people need to be in the right environment for us to grow, to develop, to be healthy, whole, and complete. So we need to have the people who we live with and share lives with to be present to help us to succeed. No sabotage allowed for any reason. And then I'm doing another training for CEOs who are sick of doing work for businesses that are out of integrity with their own values and attitudes, or maybe they're sick of their bosses firing them for not bringing in the numbers, even if the company is totally upside down anyway. So that you can find a much more creative and perhaps humbling experience working for yourself or for a different company that actually shares your values and interests. For that, we're going to go abroad to some beautiful spiritual places. We're going to spend 2 weeks together to help you to get spiritually involved with your highest calling and then creating the life of your dreams. And then for the health and wellness people, what can I say? When one goes to a place where healing is supposed to happen, in my case, I am sick of going to doctor's offices and seeing the nurses and those who represent health and wellness obese. I'm sick of seeing their edemas in their legs. I'm sick of watching them eat and drink crap. I'm sick of the lack of integrity, so I'm going to do something about it. And what I'm doing is I'm putting on an amazing training. It's going to happen over New Zealand for the second week of April, or it might go into May. Depends on what I can create and when I can get the people on board to do this. So this is for the health and wellness people who are sick of being sick, sick of being out of integrity, sick of being angry, sad, hurt, feeling sorry for themselves and want to let go of all that crap. Sick of people making them feel a certain way, because people don't make you feel a certain way. You allow it to happen in your own mind. And becoming real with yourself, so that you can be the role model that you need to be, so the people that you're here to help heal, and this includes you coaches out there as well, especially the health and healing coaches, you need to be doing the best you can for your own health and wellness. Because until you do, no one needs to listen to you. So like I say everywhere I go, please stop doing work with people for whom you have no idea and how to help, because you haven't even helped yourself. Help those people who you know how to help, because you've cleared these issues. But if you're going to be a health and wellness professional, you need to be in your own integrity. You need to take care of yourself. You need to be exercising. You need to be eating well. You need to be around happy, positive, proactive, supportive people. You need to let go of all those people who are the psychic vampires in your life. And you need to start saying no to a whole lot of people and saying yes to yourself. And in this training, you're going to learn how to do all those things using hypnotic technique. And as an extra benefit, you're going to learn how to use these tools and techniques you learn there with your own clients and patients. That's right. It's a two-for-one. Because until you do it for yourself, you can't do it for anybody else. Really, you can't. So, as always, I thank you for spending your time with me. Until next time. If you have found the information that we have shared with you here on Claim Your Excellent Life to be helpful and interesting, please do us a favor of giving us a rating on iTunes. We hope it will be 5 stars, as well as a review. Doing both these acts will move the podcast up in the ratings on iTunes, so more people will be able to find us. Also, please do us the favor of letting your friends and colleagues know about this podcast so they too can gain the knowledge that we're sharing here. We'd like as many people as possible to learn from what we have to give here. And we thank you for your time and effort in doing so.
Thank you for listening to the podcast, Claim Your Excellent Life, with your host, Suzanne Kellner-Zink, where she helps professional women learn how to be happy. Suzanne teaches you how to do this through building high self-esteem, relaxation and calm, and good, healthy relationships. Tune in every week as Suzanne shares effective strategies to help you claim your excellent life with happiness techniques, self-esteem building exercises, relationship tips, and relaxation information. Make sure to head over to dawningvisions.com to subscribe to the newsletter to receive your keys to happiness, as well as other useful free gifts for you.